Betty Louise Nordquist was born on September 6, 1931. She became a child of God through the waters of baptism on April 2, 1950. God united Betty in marriage to Bruce McCreary Oskin on November 25, 1953. And he blessed them with children Sue and Carol, as well as grandchildren Jennifer and Ryan, and Amanda and Steve. She was confirmed in the Lutheran Church here at St. Mark's as an adult on September 19th, 1999. Betty was called home to heaven to live forever with her Savior on April 16th, 2019. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We have come together to seek God's comfort in our sorrow and to rejoice in the promise of the resurrection. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you wept at the grave of your friend Lazarus, and you consoled Mary and Martha in their distress. Draw near to us who mourn for Betty, and dry the tears of all who weep. Calm our troubled hearts, dispel our doubts and fears, and lead us to praise you for having brought her to faith. In your rising from the dead, you conquered death and opened the gates to eternal life. Strengthen us with your word. Carry our burdens and lead us through this earthly life until at last we are united with you and all the saints in glory everlasting. Amen. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night.
You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence.
You turn mortals back to dust. You sweep them away in the sleep of death.
The length of our days is 70 years or 80, if we have the strength, yet there stands but trouble and sorrow.
Teach us to number our days aright.
That we may gain a heart of wisdom.
Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love.
That we may sing for joy and be glad all our days.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, it is now, and it will be forever.
Amen. Amen. We join together now in Hymn 415 in the Red Songbooks, "Be Still My Soul," hymn 415.
Thank you.
We continue with Resurrection Comfort on page 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. The Apostle Paul writes to the Romans, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus gives us this comfort. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Death has been swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God.
He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
When Christ, who is our life, appears,
then we also will appear with him in glory.
We will be before the throne of God
and serve him day and night in his temple.
Never again will we hunger.
Never again will we thirst.
For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be our shepherd. He will lead us to springs of living water.
And God will wipe away every tear from our eyes.
Let us pray. God of all grace, you sent your Son Jesus to destroy the power of death and to open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Make us certain that because he lives, we too shall live. Comfort us with your promise that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, shall be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now we go to a good place to seek comfort, and that is to the Word of God, because he gives plenty of it. And the first comfort that we're going to go to comes from Isaiah chapter 25. This shows that God indeed has won our victory. It was looking forward to his victory over death and what that means for us, and especially what that means for Betty. From Isaiah 25. "On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, 'Surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation.'" The word of the Lord. That salvation and that mountain were everything that came from Jesus when he died on that cross for our sins. And because of that, we have something very special. We have become members of God's family. I know Betty enjoyed those she would call her kids, which was all of the neighborhood kids all together. Well, I thought this one would be a good, not just homage to that, but also a good reminder of what God has done for us through faith. From 1 John chapter 3. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure." The word of the Lord. And the gospel lesson we go to for comfort comes from John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. We become children of God through faith in Jesus, and that faith is very important, and that faith is the same faith that Betty had. We see what she gets to enjoy here in John chapter 3. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict: light has come into the world, But people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. The Gospel of the Lord. We now sing that beautiful truth according to the words of hymn 391, God loved the world so that he gave. 391 in the Red Songbooks. God's grace and peace to you, friends and family of Betty Louise Oskin. And they are yours, given by God the Father through Jesus, his Son. Amen. The focus of the message that we're going to look at this morning comes all from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is the word of God. Let us pray. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your love. Amen. I had the privilege of visiting Betty for almost a year, I think, between 2017 and 2018. And a few things quickly became very apparent to me about Betty. First of all, never schedule a visit during one of her designated smoking breaks. Those were very sacred to her. Was never to do that. Another thing I learned, and this is really the biggest thing I learned, and that's that Betty just really loved her family. And I'm not just talking about her immediate family and other relatives. I'm talking about everybody who Betty considered to be her family. We're talking about neighbors, we're talking about kids in the community, everyone. Betty would often joke in the place where she lived in Brookdale that she had all of these boyfriends. And yet every visit she would also, and she didn't even realize it, she would mention her husband. She obviously very much loved him. She had, as I mentioned, you know, she considered everyone her kids in the community, and she had a picture right by the window of her kids. Have you met my kids? It took me a second to realize what she was talking about, but she explained it. No, there was more than just immediate family there. From what I understand, Betty's house was kind of like Grand Central Station in the community. People loved visiting her. She had patio furniture out there in her driveway. Everybody would sit and talk for a long time. Betty obviously loved her family and friends very much. Another thing I learned about Betty is that she was what I would call lovingly stubborn. And I stress the lovingly part, I do. In her heart, it was always that family kind of love, but if Betty had something she wanted to do, well, she was going to do it. As a pastor, it was that stubbornness that I had to wrestle with a little bit sometimes when it came to getting her to read the Bible a little bit more. I would come on a visit, and I'd suggest Bible studies and readings and things to read while I was gone. So I'd come back the next month, and I'd, well, did you read the Bible, Betty? And without fail, every time, she'd point to the wall where she had this woven banner hanging there with one verse on it. That was it. That's all she needed. That was the Bible. That was enough. The verse that was on that, John 3:16. Suppose if you're going to have one Bible verse and see that every single day, that's a pretty good verse to have up there on the wall. All right, Betty, have it your way. If you're going to hang your hat on that one verse, then at your funeral, I'm going to preach a message based on that verse and that verse alone. And I got to say, it's the perfect verse for a funeral message. It really is. It really provides a lot of comfort for all of us who are left behind to deal with the separation that Betty's death has caused. There's so much packed into this verse about who God is and what he's done and what it means for Betty right now. It all shows that God so loved Betty. That's how the verse simply starts. For God so loved. If you think Betty's love was great, then it doesn't compare, none of ours does, to God's love. And it was evident all the way from the beginning, since creation. Take a look at everything God gives us in this world. Take a look at the daytime, where we get to have work and activity, and the nighttime, where we get to have rest. Take a look at the food that he gives us every single day. And we're not talking about one kind of food, or two, or three. We're talking about an uncountable variety of food. And God created the world, and it wasn't bland and boring with all grays. No, it was vibrant with color, with flowers, or beautiful ocean views, beautiful mountain views, the sunsets every single day. One of the greatest blessings God has given us in this world is companionship. We get companionship from animals, like Betty did from her birds. She often fed. All the way up from friends and family, and all the way on up to the most intimate companionship that God gave to all of us, and especially to Betty. That's marriage. With Betty's marriage to Bruce. God has really blessed us. He truly has loved us. And yet, if you look at the world, you see that it's not all ocean views and sunsets. There's still a lot of darkness in this world, as was alluded to in John 3. Sadly, since the fall into sin, this world has become corrupted. So much so that when the Bible refers to the world so often here in John, and also in John's epistles, it talks about sin, or sinful people, or sinful temptations, things that lure us away from God. That's because when sin came into this world, it brought death. It brought spiritual death. That is so evident in our lives. We're born, sadly, spiritually dead. But that's not the only kind of death. It also brought physical death. That's a big part of why we're here today. With physical death, you see all the things that lead to physical death. Sickness, pain, disease, ailments, different things that Betty had to deal with. Those aren't even the worst kinds of death. Sin sadly brought with it eternal death. That's separation from God's love forever. That's what we all deserve when we have sin. We can't live with Him. So really, if you're looking from God's perspective and His holy heaven down on this world, you can really only be led to one conclusion. How could anyone love that? Yet John tells us, God so loved the world. Even in this fallen, corrupted world, God still had this loving motivation to it. That is called grace. God's love that He gives when we even don't even deserve it, that is called grace. And God's grace moved Him to do something unthinkable. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. He gave. He didn't trade. He didn't barter. He didn't loan. He gave. That's grace. And what He gave was unfathomable. His only Son, the one who was most precious to Him. The one that was beloved, the one who followed His will perfectly. He gave His Son. He sent Him here to this earth to become part of our family, to become a brother with us, that He might say no to the sinful world every time and cover us with that perfection. God gave Him for a mission in this world, and that ended on the cross, where He took our punishment of death upon Himself forever. God gave His Son to do that we might go from becoming His enemies spiritually to His kids, as Betty would say. From enemies to His children. Now that is God's grace, and that is God's love. God so loved Betty that He gave her His one and only Son. But how did Betty go from an enemy of God to a child of God? That's what we hear next. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him. Not only did God give the world His Son, but He even creates faith in His Son that receives all of those blessings that Jesus gives. How does He create that? He creates that through His Word. The Word I was trying to connect Betty to time and again. And strengthen her faith in, because that word, it tells us about our sin and this fallen condition. It's a difficult truth to face. And yet, that's just leading us to the gospel. That message of what the Son did. That message of the Son was victorious for you and me. That message of eternal life. And through that message, the Holy Spirit does more creating work. He creates faith in our hearts. We go from spiritual death to spiritual life. And the spiritual life that we have brings with it so many blessings. God so loved Betty that He gave her that saving faith. And the blessings that that faith brought, unimaginable blessings. If sin brought spiritual death and physical death and eternal death, well, then God gives to us the impossible through Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. If you think Betty's dead, she's not. Sure, her body died, but her soul is living, and it is living well in heaven right now. That's because through faith, God gave her eternal life. She had it here in this life, and now she's living it up forever in heaven. And that life will be all brought to its fullest on the last day, when God will give to her a resurrected, glorious body. No more cancer, no more lack of movement in her arms that she had to deal with, no more issues with her brain, none of that. Resurrected, uniting soul and body once again, just like Jesus' glorious body. How do you know? Well, God couldn't have called Betty home to heaven on a more perfect week, Holy Week. At the end of that week, we don't just celebrate the fact that Jesus died for our sins. We celebrate that 3 days later, he rose to life. He proved that he was indeed the only Son given. He proved that he did indeed pay for our sins. That he was successful. He proved that we too will rise to life just like him. That is what Betty gets to look forward to on the last day. So we all do, thanks to God. God so loved Betty that he gave her eternal life through our resurrected Lord. So now do you see why this is a pretty good verse to have on your wall? Now, as a pastor, read more than just that, but if you've got to hang your hat on one verse, this is a good one. A lot packed in here about who God is, what he did, and what it means for us. Praised for what John 3:16 means for Betty right now. For God so loved Betty that he gave his one and only Son, that through her belief in him, she did not perish, but has eternal life. Amen. May that message of God's grace guard your hearts and minds through faith until you have eternal life to its fullest. Amen. We now confess our faith together publicly, just as Betty did for so many years, according to a statement of faith that Betty confessed many times called the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Join together in the next hymn, number 588 in the Red Songbooks.
Oh,
And I'll join together in prayer and the Lord's Prayer on page 6. Almighty God, we praise you for the great company of saints who have finished their lives in faith and now rest from their labors. We remember especially our loved one, Betty, whom you have redeemed by the blood of your Son and received as your dear child through the holy baptism. We thank you for giving her to us as a companion on our earthly pilgrimage. In your compassion, comfort all who are sad in this hour. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We praise you for your love in Christ, which sustains us in life and death. In our earthly sorrows, help us find strength in the fellowship of the church, joy in the forgiveness of sins, and hope in the resurrection to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You do not leave us comfortless, but strengthen and care for us through your word and sacrament. You give us family, friends, and neighbors to help when there is loneliness now and in the days to come. Brighten our future with a firm trust in our promise, in our promises and care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remove our fears and make us bold to pray with confidence as our Savior has taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We join together in our closing hymn, Christ Be My Leader. That's hymn number 367 in the Red Songbooks. Thanks for joining us this morning as we celebrate Christ's work in Betty's life, and that is not just this life here on this earth, but that is on into eternity. God be praised. We now have a few messages from family.
First, I would like to thank everyone who came today to celebrate the life of Betty Oskin. She would be so pleased to have all of her family and friends here together in one place. In her life, family and friends were so extremely important to her. She would have done anything for any one of you, and that's what made her such a special person. Betty left an impression on all those who met her. She could make friends anywhere and often told me about people in her life that she had met along the way, whether it was her new neighbors in her neighborhood or people she met on her travels. To know Betty was to love her. With a smile that would light up the room to her infectious laugh, Betty lived her life to the fullest. She was an avid reader, crocheter, quilter, lover of flowers and plants, lover of animals, and a traveler. Her favorite pastime at her home in Folsom was to sit in her recliner in the garage and watch the neighborhood go by and visit with her friends. You would often find her passing the day just watching from that garage. The picture of her in her orange recliner will forever be embedded in my mind, because that is where Betty was the happiest. In her free time, she would crochet beautiful blankets for those she loved, and also for anyone she knew of that had gotten married or had a baby. They would also receive a handcrafted blanket made with love. She also loved to hand make blankets for the furry friends in her life, and every dog and cat she met had their very own custom fleece blanket. To further her artistic expression, she took classes on quilting and made numerous beautiful quilts for all of her family and friends. She put so much time and love into every single one of them in the hope that they would wrap her loved ones in warmth on a cold day and that they would bring a piece of herself to the homes of those she loved. Betty took the opportunity later in life to spend a lot of her time traveling with friends, experiencing different places in the U.S. and abroad. She traveled to Ireland and Scotland, Hawaii, Alaska, and many other states. She loved to learn about the new places that she was visiting and immersed herself in the history of whatever place she was visiting. She had numerous photo albums where she saved every ticket, pamphlet, and picture from wherever she had gone so she could pull those memories out and tell everyone every last detail of her adventures. Betty also loved to research and learn about her family history. She was proud of where her mother and father had come from, and she embraced her Swedish roots. She also liked to research the family history of her husband, Bruce, and collected family history information to pass on to her daughters and granddaughters so that we too would know where we came from. When Betty moved to Folsom, she was blessed to meet a few ladies that were also widowed and living in her neighborhood. They all became very close friends and spent holidays, vacations, birthdays, and day-to-day in each other's company. They took turns meeting at each other's houses to play dominoes. They also regularly met to go out to dinner, whether to celebrate a birthday or just to have a nice evening out. Betty also enjoyed going to plays and musicals and had a membership to the community center downtown, where she saw productions that would pass through town. Betty outlived a good percentage of her friends and missed them deeply after they were gone. Many of you may not know that Betty and I were roommates when she moved into her home in Folsom. She generously opened her home to me when I needed a place to live, and I will forever be grateful to her. We have always had a close relationship, but when you live with somebody, you become even closer living your day-to-day life together. Her home gave me a safe place in a time when things in my life were uncertain, and I was trying to get my footing as a young adult. Soon after moving in with her, I met my husband, Ryan, and that home became his safe place also. It was a place to feel loved, to talk about your day, to eat a home-cooked meal, and to sit in the cool air conditioning after a long, hot day. Ryan always explained being at Betty's house as feeling like you were home, and that being there was comforting and calming when things in our lives were busy and chaotic at times. Betty would sit down with us in the evening, and she would watch Ryan's motorcycle shows with him that he loved, and we would all have our 9 o'clock ice cream cone before Ryan drove home to his house. I could always tell that he never wanted to leave and found comfort in having somebody who loved him as much as Betty did. He loved her more than anyone in his life, and she held a very special and important place in his heart. He knew her for 20 years, and he did so many amazing things for her over those years. He and Betty would talk for hours, and she enjoyed every moment she had together with him. When Betty started getting older, he was there every moment by my side, making sure that she had everything she needed. He took her to appointments, rushed to her side when she would be in the hospital and I couldn't leave work. He did work around her house, including taking a week off of work in the hottest part of the summer to paint her home for her. There wasn't anything he wouldn't do for her, and I loved that he loved my grandmother as much as I did. They had inside jokes, laughed together often, and teased each other every time they got together. She spent every birthday and holiday with Ryan and I for 20 years. We are forever grateful to have had such a close relationship with her. There are no words that can explain how much I love my grandmother and the impact she made on my life. I have a lifetime filled with so many memories of her. Most memorable were the trips to her house in the summer, where I would get to spend a week, just me, her, and my grandpa. We would go to San Francisco, to Monterey, shopping, to the movies, to the zoo, and so many other places. She made me feel so special, showering me with love and attention one-on-one during those vacations. As I got older, our relationship became much deeper, and we often spent time alone talking about life. She was always there to give me advice, and I went to her often for her wisdom in any situation that I was facing. Moving in with her for those couple of years really changed our relationship, and she became a deeply important part of my life. I can honestly say that I have never met anyone who had the opportunity to have such a close relationship with their grandmother, and I consider myself so blessed. She was there in such an important way when life became very hard and challenging for Ryan and I. We took comfort in knowing that we had somebody who would do anything for us. As she got older and her health began to decline, she always continued to look at the brighter side of life, and that made me want to do the same in my life. When she was diagnosed with breast cancer, it was a battle for her. I would take her to her chemo appointments, and we would be there for hours. I would take that opportunity to sit and talk with her about day-to-day things to keep her mind off of the chemicals they were pumping into her to save her life. She became friends with the other cancer patients there with us in that infusion room. She would lift the spirits of those people with words of encouragement and funny stories. She made friends with everyone there and knew them all by name. Even when she would become very sick from the chemo, she always found the silver lining and we would be in good spirits and continue fighting. She was such a strong person, and that showed in every challenge that she was faced with. She would face things head on and nothing would bring her down. As the years went by and her health began to decline, we gave back to her what she had always given to us. We were blessed to be able to take care of her and help her in every way that we could. It was hard to be there to see her getting older and weaker, but the Betty we all knew and loved would always show herself at the end of the day. We spent a lot of time laughing about getting old and how much she hated it. She never wanted to be seen as weak and definitely did not want to lose her independence. Like everything else in her life, she just took it day by day and found comfort in her friends that she was surrounded with. When I was younger, Betty would never say, "I love you." She showed people she loved them through her actions, but very rarely would say those words. As she got older, she took every opportunity to tell us that she loved us. Maybe she became softer in her older years, but we loved to hear it. We made sure that every time we saw her that we would tell her how much we loved her. We wanted to be sure that she knew how much she was loved and how much we appreciated having her in our life. In the last couple of years, she began telling me every time I left her, "You're my girl." I don't think she realized how much I loved to hear her say that. I felt the same way about her. She was my girl, and I loved her so much. The past year, she lost the use of her right arm, the ability to walk, and was having trouble speaking. I found comfort in just sitting with her on the couch and watching Animal Planet. Even if no words were spoken, we could just be there together, enjoying spending time together. She would apologize to me and say that she was boring now because she couldn't keep up a conversation like she used to. I would laugh and tell her that she didn't need to entertain me, that I was just fine being there with her. Still in her last days, she was cracking jokes under her breath and would belly laugh when I would ask her to repeat herself 5 times when I couldn't understand what she was saying. She always found humor in life, even when things became hard for her. We are so glad we were able to be there while she took her last breaths in this life. I know that she's in heaven looking down on us today. I hope that she is able to see Bruce again because she missed him terribly over the years. She wanted nothing more but to see him again. Betty wouldn't want us to be sad that she is gone, but to celebrate her life, curl up with one of her blankets she made for you, and remember the love she gave to each and every one of us. We're going to have a slideshow to celebrate Betty's life now, and after that, we'll have refreshments in the back of the church.